Philippians 3 this morning. I'm just going to read the whole chapter just because. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law of the Pharisees, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God, by faith. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward for those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us to pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who sets their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom will transform our lowly bodies, and it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. God is good. Father God, I just come before you, Lord, and I just thank you for your word today. I thank you for Paul writing the Ephesians, Father. I thank you for the inspiration and the wisdom that he delivers in his penmanship, Father. I thank you, Father, for those 2,000 years that we have read, Father, that people have read and obtained the things that Paul has written and you, the Holy Spirit, has written in the Scriptures, Father. I thank you for those words that inspire us, to encourage us, to change us. And so, Father, today, let the word, as it was spoken, as it was read, as it was written by Paul, let it change our hearts. Let it change our mind. Let it change our spirit. Let it change our focus of where we're looking. And Father, let us be conformed to the image of you, to your Son, Jesus. Father, I pray over the word today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your goodness today, Father, and let your word be proved today, Father, in us. Let it live and breathe within our spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray. So, how was 2025 for you guys? Not good. I probably got good, great, wonderful, changes, good, life, right? Is it life? Is it death? Where do you stand from when you started 2025, and you got 3.5 days left, I believe, of 2025? Where do you stand at your goals that you put out in January 1st? Like, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna set these goals, and I'm gonna make sure I get them done. How many met your goals? How many, you met all your goals or just some? Okay. Did anybody set goals? How about spiritual goals? Anybody set any spiritual goals? What were some spiritual goals that you guys set? Okay, did you accomplish that? Amen. Any other spiritual goals? Growth. Anyone else? Get to know him more and more and more. Yeah. So we started the year 2025 with a fast. Right? Some of you participated, some of you didn't. We're going to start 2026 with the 21-day fast. So on January, we won't be meeting on January, but if you want to start, you don't have to, but I'm going to start a fast on January 1st, and we're going to 21-day fast. So anybody that wants to join, we're going to do some prayer times. We're going to do some times here in the church in the evening time and meet and just fast. And we're going to fast for the movement of God. We're going to fast for the power of God. We're going to fast for getting to know him more. We're going to fast for power and authority. And we're going to fast for him to move in our city. We're going to fast for the miraculous power of God. We're going to fast for him to move and come in and invade the room. That's what we're fasting for more of his presence. How many made financial investments this year? Anybody make financial investments this year? How do they turn out for you? Gains or losses, right? Anybody do crypto? Yeah, you'll lose there. Stay away. So we have at 361 days, we've worked in 2025. Were they good to you? Some say yes and some say no. It's another year. Did you grow in your faith? I just wrote some stuff down. Did you put the work in to see the growth? So if you didn't see growth, did you put the work in? Have you expanded God's kingdom in 2025? That means witnessing. That means leading someone to the Lord. That means pressing against the gates of hell and changing someone else's life and moving the kingdom further than your little sphere. Have you done that this year? It could be a goal for next year. Did my prayer life bring me more in relationship with the Father? How was your prayer life in 2025? That's a big factor in our life, in our spiritual life, is our prayer life. Was 2025 your best year? Can you guys remember? My dad is very good at years, and he remembers if it rained or didn't rain or snowed or whatever it did during season. He can tell you the year. But do you know, like, what is your best year? What's your best harvest year? You remember? 2000, we had some good years in 2000, in the 10s. 14, yeah. You remember the worst year? 12, drought. You know, people can have great years and people can be in droughts in your spiritual life. You know, we read a book, I can't remember, it's been like 3-4 years ago. It's called Unless We Pray. Remember that book? Some of you, about 80% of you have read this book. It'll change you. I'm going to read a couple clips from it here in a little bit, and maybe I'll just read them now. I don't know where it fits in. I'm just rolling with the Holy Spirit. And I don't never try to dictate what he wants to do. So listen to this. This is in chapter 3. Strong man has been bound. And Todd Smith wrote this book. And what I did, so some of you weren't here, what I did was me and Tabitha was down at the North Georgia Revival Pastors Conference. Actually, it was a pastors conference. And Todd had written this book, and I bought a case of them. And I brought them home, and I gave half to the church, gave them 2 weeks to read it. I gave the other half to the church, and I gave them 2 weeks to read it. And we began to pray. Back before we did that, there was only like a couple people in the prayer room, right, in here on a Wednesday night, only a couple people showing up. And even I wasn't showing up, okay? And then something started to stir within me. It's to show up. If a pastor can't lead from his knees, how can a pastor lead? And so prayer is a big, big part of my life. Prayer has to be a big part of my life. As Sean said this morning, it's felt like I've been away from the church for a month, and I was just here last week. I was drawn in the early mornings to come to the church. I didn't come to the church until last night, around 6:15. I was just drawn to the place of the altar because I missed it. Even though I wasn't here on Wednesday night, see, me not being here on Wednesday night drawed me away from the presence of God, and I needed to come in to a place of his presence. And I don't know if you ever get hungry enough for a certain thing that you got to have it and you chase after it and you go whatever it takes to get it. And so when you're into that place of hunger for God, you begin to see things differently, and it begins to drive your desire. Listen to this. This is what Satan would say, or Satan said. Now, this is not in the Bible. This is just a writing. This is a saying. Satan, it says, Satan called a world convention in his opening address to the throne of demons. He said, we can't keep the Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from worshiping God. Some of you guys might remember this. We can't keep them from worshiping God and reading their Bibles. We can't even keep them from being good. But we can do something else. We can keep them from tapping into the power of prayer. Yes, that is our goal, to keep them from the one thing that is the greatest threat to our world dominion, dominance. I have commissioned you to make this your highest aim. Keep the church from praying. He concluded, if they realize what they can accomplish in prayer, then we will lose this war. So let them go to church. Let them have their Christian lifestyle, but minimize this discipline. Minimize this discipline. Steal their time, their energy, their hunger, so they cannot gather together in prayer. At all costs, this is what I want you to do. Distract them from gaining hold of prayer. So the demons ask the question, how shall we do this? Keep them busy with non-essentials of life. Unleash an assault of things to occupy their minds. He answered, tempt them to spend, spend, spend. Then borrow, borrow, borrow. Convince them to work 6 or 7 days a week, 10 or 12 hours a day, so they can afford their lifestyle. Keep them from spending time with their children. As their families fragment soon, their homes will offer no escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds, cause them to be addicted to frivolous things that add little to no value to their walk with God. Entice them to watch YouTube, Netflix, and listen to meaningless podcasts. Have them fixated with social media so they spend hours streaming, reading, and responding to posts. Keep them and their children enamored with video games. Also keep them occupied with information and more information. Isn't that something? I think there was a... Who was the guy that would get on there the rest of the story? Paul Harvey. I believe Paul Harvey said something that in 1967. I think he spoke a thing, how would Satan defeat us? Listen to this. Above all things, sacrifice whatever you need in order to minimize the priority of prayer. Listen to this. This is what Satan would be telling his demons. Above all things, sacrifice whatever you need to in order to minimize the priority of prayer. At all costs, he shouted, keep them from prayer. Keep them from prayer. And he's done a great job.
Yes, that's right.
I'm telling you, he's done a great job. I'm just gonna put this out there. Now we've had a change in our church. We've went from, and I know the enemy's against this, a God moving anywhere. We get up to 145, 150 people, and all of a sudden the enemy comes in and destroys. He tries to destroy and pull away. He tries to break apart because we begin to pray. And so we read this book. It took us 4 weeks to read the book. And from the time that we started to read the book, we went from 3 people to 30 people in the prayer room on a Wednesday night. It was a consistent thing. A consistent thing. And then all of a sudden, after a season, after a time, because prayer is very hard work. Prayer is very difficult. It's really not, but it is, because you got to spend time with the Lord. And man, you got so many other things to do. How well did you pray during 2025? That will tell you what your spiritual life really is. You can read your Bible. You can spend time doing all kinds of ministry things. But if you do not seek God in prayer, there's no power in what you're doing. Prayer is the main thing that drives the spiritual realm. It's the main thing that defeats the spiritual realm, should I say. It's the main thing that drives your spiritual life. If you have no connection with the author of the book, man, you have no connection at all. All you got is knowledge. And so we want to have this connection with the author of the book to understand when he writes certain things. And so I encourage you. One thing about it, what the Satan tries to do, and he does this to leadership, worship team, people, all kinds of people. But he really wants to get involved with worship or worship team. He really wants to get into their heads. He really wants to pull them away from prayer. He wants to get the pastor so busy that he cannot pray. He wants to get the elders so they cannot do anything. He wants to get the leadership so they cannot do anything. But God is calling the leadership and the elders to come to the altar, because you cannot have ministry if you do not have prayer. If we want to see a move of God in our life, we have to see the leadership and the power of God move in leadership. How can I lead you? If I decide not to do it, I'll just stay home today. How can I lead you to do water if I decide not to get on my face? Lead by example. And then you begin to press in and see what God does. You know, God will move in your life when you pray. When you pray. So one thing about closing out a new year, you close out the old year, what do? You open up your books, you find out where you're at, you give you your taxes, right? You see what kind of damage it's going to be, or you see how good you did, right? How well 2025 was for you. But listen to this. Paul tells us in Philippians, and we just read it, Philippians 3, 13 and 14, he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended. But one thing I do." Now, here's what you got to get. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." What's that mean? What's that mean for us today? There's a lot of things that happened in 2025 that I want to forget. I want to get rid of. I want to deposit. I want to burn. I want to throw it away. I don't want to carry it into next year's life. Do I want to carry unforgiveness? Do I want to carry hatred? Do I want to carry anything into 2026? Or do I want to start 2026 in a way that is free? And that's where we should be. And so today, I'm just going to hand out some papers. Tabby's got some pens. And what I want you to do is, nobody's going to look at them. They're all the same size. And I want you to write down things. You want to help me? Thank you. Pass them down. Help me out. Pass them around. So what I want you to do is, there's some things that 2025 was really great in. Man, it was excellent. You sought the Lord. You felt his presence. You know, man, he showed up. He's answered prayers. He's done things in your life that you thought, man, I never would have imagined. But these things that I want you to write down is the thing that I don't want you to carry in the next year. These things is, I don't want to carry them, God. I don't want to carry them into my new year. I want to be transformed. I want to leave all those things behind. I want to put them behind me. I want to forget those things. As it says, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward for those things which are ahead." I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So write down whatever was destructive in your life or not acceptable to God. Things maybe you did that weren't acceptable to God. That is like, God, I know that I missed it. I know that I just missed that part, God. And what we're going to do today, the Bible tells us if we repent. The word repent is not in the church very often, but I'm going to tell you what it needs to be in your life. You need to learn what repent means. Repent means to get on your face and fully surrender your life to God. Not just repent and do it again tomorrow. But I mean repent and turn away from it forever and begin to move your life forward. Press on towards the goal of Christ Jesus. Press on. So we need to repent, repent, repent. I don't want to carry baggage into my 2026. I don't want to carry it. That's why we're fasting. I don't want to carry this baggage anymore. I've gained some weight. I don't know about you, but I gained some weight this year. I don't like it. I'm not going to fast to lose weight, but I'm not going to carry this baggage anymore in my life. I'm not going to carry it. So I'm going to fast because I want to seek God. I want to get rid of the physical, but I also want to get the spiritual motivated in my life. I want to see God move in ways in this church. I want to see him move in our city. I want to see the miraculous of God move. And I cannot do that, but if I just sit on my hands and come in and preach a message every Sunday, I come in and raise my hands on Sunday and worship. But what if I do nothing through the week? If I live my life in character of God, then what is it really doing in my life? I've been struggling with some things, not really struggling with any sin or anything like that. I've been struggling with church. I've been struggling with why do I do church? Why do I do what I do? Well, God, why did you put me in this place? I struggle with it. I don't know about how you guys struggle. Do you struggle about coming to church on Sunday? Do you struggle about getting up? Man, I don't know. I just need to go because God has called me to go. Why do you come to church? Why do I get up and preach a message if there's nothing more than just that? Because a message, there's been thousands and millions and millions and millions, I would say billions of messages preached all across the earth every year. There's messages preached all across the earth. And where do you see revival? You're not seeing it. What do we say? There's 102 churches in Terre Haute, Indiana. Where are you seeing revival at in Terre Haute, Indiana? Where is it changing the sphere or the circumference of the church? Where is it changing the city? Where is it changing? We're preaching messages. We're preaching messages. There's powerful messages being preached all over our city. It's supposed to be transforming the lives of individuals. But what does that do for anyone else? Yeah, I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to get there. But am I taking anybody with me? Am I bringing anybody with me? Have I brought anybody with me in 2025? Have I brought them into a place? I don't care what church they go to. Okay, so win somebody to the Lord, get them into a church. A God-believing church. A one that believes the Bible. One that believes the Holy Spirit. One that believes there's power in God. One that believes the miraculous power is still moving today. That means Matthew 28. That means you're doing all the things called. Go out and preach the gospel to everyone. Heal the sick. Some of us have been hurt by casting out demons. Some of us have been hurt by that. Some of us maybe don't understand. The more I read on it, there's a place for it. But it's not the sole central focus. It is a place of unity in salvation. It's the place of unity of the sozo natural. To see demons cast out. It's natural to see them leave when there's power in your prayer. When there's power in what you do, there's power on your knees, you're going to see demons flee and scream out. Not everyone has a demon, but there are people oppressed by demons. Here's the thing. There's demonic realms around us. There is a demonic spirit over Terre Haute, Indiana. It's like a general, okay? There are hierarchies in the demonic realm, and there's hierarchies in the Christian realm as well. And so he's like this general, this principality. It's a principality over Terre Haute, Indiana. He might be over a larger region, but we know that there is this principality over Terre Haute, Indiana. It suppresses what the demonic does. It suppresses the gospel. It does not want the gospel to get pushed out. It does not want the gospel to get into the highways and byways. It wants the gospel to be subdued. That's why Satan said, if I can keep them from praying, if I can keep them from tapping into the power of God, then I can keep them from moving out and pressing against my kingdom. I can keep them from shattering the gates of hell that I've kept them at bay for a time. But there is a season, there is a church, there are people that are getting up and getting on their knees and pressing in for the desires of God, not for your own desires, but they're pressing in for God to move. And we're going to start pressing against that demonic realm, that principality that is over Terre Haute, Indiana. You want to know why this church gets up to a certain number and then it begins to deplete? Because God's power begins to move. We start to see God begin to move, and then the enemy comes in. You can say it's Jezebel. You can say it's Python. Some of you might not understand those. Jezebel will cause you have to have an Ahab spirit around that will allow it to come in. We've had a Jezebel spirit. It's not Jezebel herself. It's the spirit of Jezebel. It's the low-level demons that come and fight. And so what happens is they entice someone that is acceptable because they have desires in their heart. And what happens is that demonic spirit will play on their desires. I want to be this. I want to do that. And so that spirit will start to entice. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen right away. But through those desires, then all of a sudden it begins to influence. And so we've had that spirit in this place, the spirit of Jezebel. What did it do? We were up to about 145, 150 people. And it began to pull them out. It began to cause division in the church. And what happens is Jezebel knew that there was power. He don't care if there's no power in the church. See, this is about the time after we all started to pray. This is right after we begin to seek God. This is right after we begin to move in power in the Spirit of God on our knees. And then all of a sudden, what happened? Jezebel comes in, pulls out about 10, 15 people. Might have been 20. Why? Influence. Not understanding. The person probably didn't even know it. We go again, we're building up again. Same thing happened again. Because their desires. Not understanding God's purpose for the city. It wasn't the people. It was the spirit that was dictating in this area that something was going on at Calvary. Don't you think they take notice when you come in on your knees? Don't you think the demonic realm comes and takes notice when a man or a woman gets on their knees and prays and seeks God with all their heart, all their mind, and all their strength? Don't you think the enemy takes notice? I guarantee the enemy takes notice. He doesn't care if you sit in those pews. He doesn't care if you go home and open up your Bible. He doesn't care about that. But when you begin to move in the power of God, you begin to get on your knees and you begin to see God move. You know that you're in connection with the only God of heaven, the only one God. He's the only one. When you get in connection with him, the enemy knows that you have power that you're just realizing. He knows that you're realizing the power that you can obtain through being on your knees. So sometimes I struggle. Year to year, I see God move. I see spirits. And it's happening today in people in our church. I see influences. So some of you might beginning to see influences come across your Facebook feeds that you haven't seen for a while. And all of a sudden they might say happy birthday. And they might say something else. And all of a sudden they're building influence. And what that is a spirit. It's a spirit of God when you know about them, but they supposedly changed, or it could be somebody that has left here and they're building influence in your life. I want to tell you this is a word for 2026. This is a word for everyone in this church. It's a word for the U.S. It's a word for the church in general. There is a spirit of division. There is a spirit of influence coming into a place that he's going to drive. He wants to drive apart the church. He's really trying because he knows his time is short, and he's coming in to drive apart the body of Christ. I'm telling you, don't be influenced by things that look good, that sound good, that sound like, oh, that person's really changed. I'm telling you. Be weary. Because these people haven't changed. They're still operating out of that same spirit. And what they do is they try to drive and pull and influence and change. I'm not one to try to keep you here. If you want to go to another church, you can go to another church. I'm not that way. Me and Sonny always said when we started to do this together that was like, it doesn't matter the crowd. It doesn't matter the amount of people in the building. If I have 20 people that have the heart of God that want to press into the gates of hell, I'm going to fight with them all day long. All day long, I'm going to fight with them because that is what moves heaven. That is what moves the enemy. That is what comes against the enemy. You know, you ever see these revivals? And it's always one person that got on his knees. Or two women got on their knees and they begin to pray. They begin to seek God. And they begin to cry out for a territory. They begin to cry out for areas. And all of a sudden, God shows up. It's not the church. It was some individual that cried out to God, that had a desire for God to move. You want to know why Terre Haute churches can't come together? Because the spirit and principality that is over our area keeps us at bay, keeps us wanting, oh, you can't, you got to baptize this way, you got to pray this way, you got to speak in tongues or you can't be saved, you can't be part of the church, or you got to do it this certain way, you got to hold your mouth one way and your tongue the other way, and otherwise you can't be saved. I'm telling you what, God has a plan for the church, and he's coming to bring a unity in the church, and no gate, no hell can come against it.
That's right.
Why do we have so many denominations in the Christian church? Why are there so many denominations? It's because one man got mad. You got mad at me and said, you know what? I don't like what you're saying. I don't like what you believe. I believe it this way. I'm going to go start my church because this is the right way. This is God's only way. This is the only way God can do it is my way. And then you start a church. Because you can't come in agreement with the body of Christ. You can't come in agreement because you know what? There's only a few hills to die on. But it has to be my way. That's why the Islamic people, the Muslims, say the Muslims are unified. Why do you think they go and fight till the death? They believe something, and they believe it with all their heart. And they'll fight to the death. But us Christians can't come together with a church across the street because he believes, he's afraid that you might go there. Or one of his people might come here. And it's the body of Christ. It's the full body of Christ operating together in unified form. If we all got on our knees and the church of God began to pray in Terre Haute, Indiana, and we began to press in, we would shatter the gates of hell and we would see the enemy just vanquish Terre Haute, Indiana. But we think this is it. We think, not we, the church is worldwide, think that this is it. It has to be this way. I tell you what, it has to be this way, that the church has to get on their knees and repent for the way we've walked out our Christian life, for the way that we've preached our messages, for the way that we've kept people apart. We have to repent of those things. So if you don't have prayer in your life, this ain't even the message. This wasn't even the message I was going to talk about. But if you don't have prayer in your life, if you don't have prayer in your life, there is no power in your word. There is no power in what you believe. There is no power in what you read. You read an author, but you don't know the author. There's no power in what you read. There's no power in what you say. When you walk out, you know, Philippians 2 tells us that we have the authority. We are seated at the right hand. We're seated in Christ, right? We're in Christ. Christ is at the right hand of the Father. We have all authority because we are in Him and He is in us. And we should be walking out authority, but we don't understand that authority because we haven't been on our knees to figure out the authority. We want to read the Word and we want to get it into our minds, but we never get it into our hearts. We never get into the perspective of getting on our faces. And God, I want the power of you moving across the earth. I want the power of your Word to resonate in my life. I want to do and be the demonstration that you have in the earth with the Holy Spirit in us. So we can't move forward into 2026 until we get these things right or get our baggage moved out and get into a place of understanding. See, we're not quite there to January 1st. And so we got 3.5 days to get to that place. And we got 3.5 days to empty ourselves out. We got 3.5 days to decide what I want to be, where I want to be. How does my life operate in 2026? How do I walk out the things of God in 2026? So we have 3.5 days. So as you guys continue, or what if you're still writing those things down of the baggage you don't want to carry in 2026, there's some things that we've done this before and we've seen a release of God's presence and we've seen God just lift these things off of us. And so if you're dealing with unforgiveness or you're dealing with doubt or you're dealing with, man, God, I thought I was praying enough. I thought I was praying in my car. I thought I was devoting my time to you. I thought I was really devoting everything to you. But God, I think I missed it. The Holy Spirit begins to press on you today. God, I think I might have missed it. You write that down. God, I want to know you. I want to really know you, God. I want more of you. But I know I can't get it just by reading the Word. I have to come into this place of prayer. The Bible tells us that Jesus was the Word. It says, in the beginning, God, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Listen to this. Jesus was the Word of God that fell on His face every day. Every day. He was the Word of God that fell on His face every day. Why did He fall on His face every day? Why did He go meet with the Father every day? For direction. What do you want to do today, God? What do you want to do today? We talk about first fruits. We talk about first offerings. Do we really give God our first fruits? Do we really give Him our offerings? You can think I'm talking monetary. I ain't even talking monetary. This church knows monetary. That's just a no-brainer. That's a no-brainer that I give. I give to the Lord. I give to the house that I give. That's just a no-brainer. But the first fruits of my life, the first fruits of my waking up in the morning. What is my first fruits of my life every day? What is the last fruit of my life every day? What is when I lay my head down on the bed? What is my last fruit of the day? Is it scrolling on the phone? I've been there playing a golf game. Golf Rival. Stupid. I've been there. I'm on level 9. What do you do when you lay down? What do you do when you wake up? What's your first fruits like? I had Tabby get me a pan since I didn't have a metal trash bin. Since I've a little longer, not really long, I want you to come and this is the altar, and I want you to place your things you're not going to carry into 2026 in the pan. This is your place. This is the place, yeah. Drop them in there. This is your place that I'm not carrying nothing anymore. This is at the altar. I'm laying it down at the altar this morning. There's nothing else that I'm going to carry anymore. I'm not going to carry this garbage. 2026 is going to be a new year for me. 2026 is going to be a great year for me. 2026 is going to resonate the future of my life. I think there's a song called I Give It All Away. I don't know the name of it. I think it's a song. It's called I Give It Away. I don't know the author. I don't want to take all your time up today, but I really want you to get this, what you're laying in this pan today, this pot today, I really want you to understand that I'm not carrying it no more. This weight, this thing I'm not carrying no more. I don't want to carry it into my life anymore. I don't know if that's the name of it or not. But I'm telling you, church has to be more. It's more than this. You guys are going to listen to this message, and you're going to walk out these doors. And you might remember it 3 days from now. What did I preach on last week? I don't answer. What did I preach on 2 weeks ago? Did it change your life? Did it make you do something different? That tells you that there's no, it tells you that it's just a word. It's a good word. What was the last message Sonny preached? You remember that? The blood. Did it change your life? You know what changes your life? Repentance. Recognizing our failures. Jesus paid it all. Nothing under the sun. Nothing under the sun that everything under the sun. Jesus paid it all. There's absolutely nothing that you wrote down on your papers that his blood didn't cover. Jesus, have my heart, nothing. My soul. I want to take a moment, just repent. Jesus, not just because you wrote it down, that's a memory. That's a memory. You wrote it down and you wrote it down on a memory, on a piece of paper, and you put it in the pan. But now we repent. Repenting. God, forgive me.